Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to spend a few moments remembering that while we live here in this world, we are temporary residents. We are pilgrims passing through to our true homeland, our true fatherland, our commonwealth, which is in heaven. And so while we live here, we want to live in a manner befitting those who understand that we are only visitors here and that we are heading to our everlasting home. And so, the first thing that we want to consider today is this: follow the examples of those who live godly in Christ Jesus. In our text from the epistle, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me." All right, now notice, he begins by addressing brethren. That means he's not talking to worldlings. He's not talking to the world of unbelievers. He's talking to Christians, those who are already in Christ by baptism and faith. And so he says, brethren, he's talking to every Christian, and he says, imitate me, all of you, imitate me. Be followers together of me. Why is he saying that? Because Paul understands that he is a godly, orthodox Christian man who believes, teaches, and confesses the pure word of God and lives his life as is appropriate for those who make such a confession. And therefore, he can readily consider himself an example for others to imitate and to follow after. So he says, brethren, be imitators or followers together of me. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. So he says, mark, that is, take note of those in your congregations, those in your churches who walk, that is, who conduct themselves the way I conduct myself, and realize that you have us as examples for you to follow after and to imitate. Now, why is he making such a point of this? Because as you and I well know, the world is full of bad examples that we Christian people should not emulate and follow after. There are no shortage of people. It mystifies me why people can look at morally decrepit celebrities and think that there's anything about their lives that is worth emulating. And so it goes across the culture. We're living in a time where the people that we used to rightly look up to, we now look at them and go, oh my goodness, how the mighty are fallen. And so we need to be aware that God is calling us through the Holy Apostle to have godly Christian examples of faith and conduct. And he says, be therefore followers together of me, and also take note of those who walk as I walk, and follow them and use them as your examples. Not the people of the world, not the unbelieving and the rebellious, not the reprobate and the backslidden, but those who are in the faith and who endeavor to live godly lives in Christ Jesus. Shun the bad examples of those who are by their own fault perishing in their sins and in their unbelief. Paul says, for many walk, many conduct themselves, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. You don't want to follow anybody like that and use them as an example of how you should live your life or conduct your affairs. You do not want to pattern yourself after the enemies of the cross of Christ. He says, remember this, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. They rejoice in things that we as Christians don't even want to talk about in hushed voices. Their glory is in their shame, and they mind, that is, their minds are set on earthly things. Now, why is it that they can break their marriage vows, that they can live in sin? Because they have no hope of glory. Because this life is all they think that they have. And so God forbid that I should stay with some spouse that I'm bored with. I've only got a couple of years to live, and then it's all over. Kaput, boom. So I better get all that I can get out of life now while I still have a chance. You see, when people have no God, when they have no belief, real belief, not phony belief, but real belief in everlasting life and full free salvation in Christ, they can never defer their pleasures for heaven. They can never maintain faithfulness and rightness in this world, because they think that this world and what it offers is all that they're ever going to get. And so they flee from their proper responsibilities. They flee from the roles that God has assigned to them. And they flee from their vows of all kinds. And so he says, the people who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. They pay attention to earthly things, not heavenly things. But he says, that's not the way it is with us. Right? That's not the way it is. He says, but our commonwealth is in heaven. We know that we are only temporary residents here. We are only pilgrims. Our time of life in this world is only a short time, and it is a time that is called a veil of tears. But in heaven, we have the holy promise of God, backed up by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God will wipe away all tears, and he will take away all sorrow and all mourning and all crying and all pain. Because when we behold the face of Jesus, when we behold the face of our Father in heaven, we will glory and rejoice forevermore in the heavenly bliss that we receive in the presence of Almighty God. So we can put up with cross bearings. We can endure tribulations and afflictions because we know that this is not our permanent place. This is not all that there is. We have a homeland. We have a commonwealth. We are citizens of heaven. And from our home country, we are awaiting the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who on the last day will return to judge the quick and the dead. And that means that for us who are baptized into his holy, precious name and who believe in his wonderful gospel of eternal life as a free gift, we know that when he comes, he will not come to us in anger and wrath, but he will come to us to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. See, that's what's in store for you and me on the last day. At the resurrection of the dead, when Christ returns in glory, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet, the dead will be raised and we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, what will that change be like? All of our mortality and its sinfulness will melt away and be replaced by a glorious resurrection body, no longer subject to mortality, no longer subject to the effects of sin, and we will enter into the heavens as the holy saints of the living God, there to dwell with him forever in the new heaven and the new earth. And all of this will happen for us according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. In other words, our Lord Jesus is able to accomplish this. It is no sweat for our Lord to accomplish this. He is able to subdue all things to himself, and he will do so in glory on that last day. So while we live here, we want to be noting those who live godly in Christ Jesus. And we want to be like them because they want to be like Jesus. And we all want to be like Jesus and walk in his holy word. And therefore, we always keep one eye out on the horizon for the coming of the kingdom of glory. For our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.